Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP and Caldwell. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
All right, folks, welcome to the You Are an IP Company podcast. It's been an absolute blast so far. How you doing today, Katie?
I'm great. How about you?
Good, good. Listen, we have a big announcement for people. Let's just tell them right away. But we've been chatting about this even from day one. It's like, oh, what if we did this really cool workshop concept together? And, you know, we may do one in Boston someday where it's high end and, you know, at your skyscraper and fantastic food and all this stuff. But, you know, we said the New Year's coming. And let's just make it fast and easy for people to just start off the new year identifying their intellectual property and then protecting their intellectual property. And so I know your hourly rate and my hourly rate is quite up there, but we thought, what if we do this special 3-hour workshop? And we have decided we're going to do it. And so for the first time ever, we're going to announce the date. It is January 16th, 2025. From 10 a.m. Eastern to 1 p.m. Eastern. And we'll announce all the details later, but let's just say that the ticket is massively affordable. And we have a special rate for people who are going to bring their teams. So you can bring up to 10 team members for one rate, or you can buy an individual rate, and you are going to get massive value. We're going to stack on the benefits. And Katie, what do you hope happens from people spending 3 hours starting the new year by really intellectual property focus?
Right. I think this workshop will help kickstart everybody's new year with really finding a way to integrate IP into their business and really help them get their thinking centered around what is my intellectual property. And what do I want to protect in position this year for my business? So I think that's really, we hope this is sort of a New Year's detox for IP.
Yeah.
And really get things rolling.
Listen, I think it's for the, I love that. We said, who's this exactly for? It's for entrepreneurs, it's for authors, and it's for creatives. So it's really for people who have a book, brand, or business, and you nailed it. It's for people who, as we've chatted about in the book, they have these hidden Rembrandts. They're scattered all over. They don't even know that they exist. And that really brings us to our topic today, which if people are following along in the book, it's page 38 and 39 in the print book, but it's all about this harvest. And then we move right into the IP equation, which we definitely protected that IP ourselves because that's a great equation. But first of all, let's just talk about the harvest. There's a certain lens that people need to have when they protect IP. And there's people who book harvesting sessions with you. What typically happens in those sessions?
Right. Those sessions, so usually they can be kind of lengthy, depends really on what we need to accomplish, but could be, you know, anywhere from 4 hours to 4 days. And we lock ourselves in a room with a lot of the team members of a company. So it could be, you know, the CTO, maybe it's someone who's really ingrained in the engineering of the product or the company. And we sit there and whiteboard what are all the ideas and things we're working on right now, but also what do we see as the future innovations of the company too? And what that really helps us do is frame up and figure out, okay, what are all of our company's trade secrets, meaning these are ideas we can go protect with patents. But that way we kind of start to incorporate this IP hygiene process into it so that then we have this list of all this IP and then we can comb through it and figure out, okay, what's most important for us and what do we want to start protecting soon, and we can really put in place a schedule and get everything really prioritized nicely too. And I'd say too, you know, this is something, this framework, it's really, I like to think of it as a living document because it's something that we keep coming back to and referring and using really as a launching point, because a lot of times as the company grows and maybe priority shift, R&D shifts, we can really continuously review the items on the list, figure out, okay, how important or crucial is this idea to the central focus of the business? And what do we want to do protection-wise with it? Are we still maybe going to hold it as a trade secret? Do we need to protect it with a patent because maybe something is happening fit quickly? But it really kind of allows us to serve as a launching off point to really understand where we want to go and how can we position the IP as the business grows too.
I love it. I love it. And I'm so glad that you know what you're talking about, because I was having a little bit of tech issues, but you crushed it, and hopefully the recording got that. But I love it. You know, people don't understand that they have this value in their company. I love the IP hygiene that you talked about. In fact, that's one of our entire chapters. And I get it. When people first start talking about IP, it can feel overwhelming. But I've seen this happen, Katie, where just this week I had two lunches with old friends, and they're like, what are you up to? And I said, oh, let me tell you what I'm up to. And I started to share about the book, and I started to share about IP, and they went from IP not even probably in their minds ever, maybe ever, to us literally sitting at the restaurant, and now all of a sudden they're picking up the sauce and they're looking at that IP and they're looking at the trademark. And what happened was they went from like IP is not even existent, or it's for the really big people like Nike and Apple, to, oh my gosh, I probably have IP and I'm probably vulnerable in certain ways. And it's true. Like one of the guys I met with said there is another company with his exact name doing his exact thing. And he said he's always kind of had them in the back of his mind, which affects obviously confidence. And he left saying, I'm going to protect my company and other aspects of my company today, you know? And so it was so cool to see him go from unaware, you know, we call this the unconscious incompetent, to conscious incompetent. And then he can then move into conscious competence. Like, oh, now I know what I'm doing too. Then one day, I think if somebody has hygiene, they're almost in this special genius state where again, the chart goes unconscious competent. Have you ever seen those categories before?
All the time. What exactly kind of what you described, where a lot of people tend to think that, oh, IP, I don't know anything about that. I don't need to worry about that. I don't have anything protectable, right? And I've even seen this with other lawyers. We actually had an event last night at our office. Whoa. With all, it's this association of corporate counsel. So it's not necessarily IP focused lawyers, but just kind of general counsel types, and they always have so many questions about IP because they don't have a lot of experience with it, mm-hmm. but they know it's an important component of the company yeah. they work at. And so it's always fascinating to see too. People know that this is something they need to be focused on, but they all the time, businesses are so busy growing and launching products and hiring and scaling that the IP gets kind of passed over, put to the side, disregarded, and the focus never really comes into attention until it is too late almost, right? Because it is an afterthought. And I think that's really the whole, hopefully, message of the book too. And why it's so important is that you can never start early enough with it.
I love that. That's really good. And I love how you got your picture in back of you, the 12 steps.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
That is really cool.
A gift from you.
Oh, well, listen, I love sending it over. And I want people, I'm going to show our viewers who are actually watching it. And folks, if you're not watching it, not a problem if you're listening to it. But this is so important. There's these 12 steps in the book. And Katie hit on a few of them. One was visualize, where we're talking about kind of like that guy. I'll just tell you his first name. His name's Joel. I went to lunch with him, and it's been several years. But Joel began to visualize, oh my gosh, yeah, IP could totally increase my influence, impact, and income. And by the way, Katie, this story comes up all the time. I'm so glad we put it in the book. But Joel said, well, what if I don't care about my IP? And I just, you know, it's cool. Other people can take it. I'm generous. And I looked at him and I told him that exact story about our friend who does fireplaces, where, fine, if you don't take your IP seriously, what if your competitor does and takes your IP, protects it, and locks you out? And again, same experience happened. His face went white. He's like, oh my gosh, I would be sunk. And that's the point. Like, if you don't take it seriously, I think our friend Tony D'Angelo says, like, other people will, I think Tony says, if you don't have a plan for your IP, your competitor will.
That's right. Yeah. Like, and it's, you know, your competitor is watching you, right?
They're looking
at what you're putting on your website. They're looking at what you're talking about at conferences, at trade shows, what you're publishing. So if you're putting stuff out there and it's not protected, that's where it can really become problematic, because then they could go file things and really box you out, or, you know, really cause problems down the road.
That's right. That's right. So if you look at this screen here, you mentioned hygiene, and that's actually one of our steps. We're going to get to that in a couple of weeks, but it's that normalize. And we do, we see companies like Strategic Coach, like EOS, they're both mentioned in the book, SeedSpark, our company, your company, bless you. That's good. But we have companies that literally have hygiene as part of their process, so that when they create something, it's like, oh, we got to protect that. Like, let's file a copyright or a trademark, or let's put that on an instant IP the moment we think of it, create a timestamp. So again, like, it doesn't need to be hard and complex. And let's spend the second half of our podcast today talking about the IP equation. And really, the first time you mentioned this to me, it didn't make sense, because I just thought your IP plus protect IP equals IP value. Like, to me, it's not sexy. Yeah. But, you know, like, I'm a writer, I'm into like verbiage, but the more we unpacked it, I was like, it's so smart. It doesn't need to be dressed up, because sometimes, like, E plus, what is it? Einstein, you know,
E equals MC squared. Yeah.
You know, like, if you don't need to make it complex, don't make it complex. So it's your IP plus protect your IP equals IP value. And let's just take the three parts and let's break these down. So your IP, basically we're telling them that they need to declutter their attic. They need this five-fold strategy, which is right in the book. And it's basically five things. I have a new way of solving a problem. I have a unique idea for accomplishing a task. I have a different way of saying something. I have an uncommon angle for combining things, or I've created something unlike anything else. I mean, we kind of pulled that from the USPTO and you know, made it our own and tweaked a few words, but those are all different ways of saying that you have something unique. Do you agree with that?
That's right. And the thing is too, it might not, what you've created might not hit on every single one of them.
No.
And so that's perfectly fine too. Don't think your idea has to be foolproof into every single one of these, but this is just a way to start to wrap your thinking around.
Yes.
What is it that I've really done here? What is so different that sets me apart from what others are doing?
I love it. 100%. You know, I was even, I'm getting distracted, but I'm just going to share it anyway. We were putting the ornaments on the tree the other day, and I opened an ornament and it said Scooby-Doo and it said TM. And I was like, oh my gosh. I said, even the ornaments that we're putting on the Christmas tree, Hallmark created a collaboration with Scooby-Doo or something. And there's intellectual property that we're even hanging on the Christmas tree. Is that, and again, once your eyes are open, you see it everywhere.
You see it everywhere. Yeah, it's, you can't hide from it. It's really, once you start to think about it, you realize, wow, all these big brands, they're locking this stuff down and they are putting it on every single product that they're producing.
Absolutely. So now we go into IP value. And I love in part two, step eight of the book, monetize. We give 47 ways on how to monetize your IP. Because that was another question Joel had at lunch. He's like, well, what can I do with IP? And I said, oh my gosh, man, let's grab the book here. And I gave him a copy, but franchising, licensing, you know, securities, like you just go on and on and on, collateral, there's, you know, loans, there's so many ways that you could monetize IP, not to mention, we always teach 18 streams of income from your book, but those are all IP versions and expressions. But let's go down to page 42. We say, we'll unpack this concept by explaining the two purposes of IP. So what is that? One and two.
Yeah. So I like to think about the purpose of IP in sort of a twofold lens here, where we use it for offensive and defensive strategies. So obviously, if we've created something new, we want to protect it for our own good, because we've created it ourselves and it's our property. But really, where you drive the most value from IP is when your IP creates liability for others. And what I mean by that is there's marketplace adoption of your IP, meaning others are practicing it, others are stealing it, ripping it off, because if there is that market adoption, that's what's deemed to be called evidence of use.
Okay.
And that's what really kind of drives up the value of your intellectual property, because you've now protected something that other players in the industry are using and adopting as their own. And so
would you call that word?
That would be marketplace adoption, or what a legal term would be called evidence of use.
Evidence of use. Wow. Okay. And that's where you're seeing people out there using it.
Practicing it. Exactly.
Wow. Okay. And so security is the first purpose of IP. And I always tell people fence. Like, I'm so glad, you know, for all these years I wanted a metaphor, but a fence, you know, you think of property. And another example, this always happens whenever I write a book, like it's first like unfamiliar, and then you write the book and you start using the same stories. But the same story I use now all the time is to, as I say, if you're in a neighborhood and you see somebody's garage door open, and in, you know, the garage door is open and you can catch with your eye TVs and electronics and all this stuff just being boxes of stuff in the garage and it's open. If you're in certain neighborhoods, you could say goodbye to that.
Yep.
You know, like I have a nice bike, not crazy nice, but like nice bike. I always shut the garage door because I'm like, if somebody takes that bike, I'm going to be really upset.
Yeah, of course.
But if you drive by a garage door that's open and there's an electric fence around it and a dog in the yard and a security camera, all of a sudden you're like, I'm not messing with that.
Yeah.
I don't care if the garage door is open. I'm not messing with that property. And that's really what patents, trademarks, copyrights, even, you know, instant IP, but we're trying to, we call this IP marking. And we'll talk about that some other time, but that's kind of what you're saying, that like, we're telling the world on notice. We're putting the world on notice.
Yeah, exactly. I have a client who likes to say, you know, go dig me a moat to protect the castle, right? And how strong can we make the moat? We need to make it very strong so that there can be no entrance into the castle.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't interview thieves a lot, but I've heard thieves talk about, and we mentioned this in the book, casing the joint. Like,
yeah,
they literally, before stealing, go and check out and say, is it worth the risk? And if they think no, somebody might have a weapon, somebody might have an alarm system, somebody might have a dog. Suddenly they're like, I'm going to go down the road where it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So that security is the first purpose. And then liability is the second purpose of IP. What does that mean?
Yeah. So that's where if you know, the value of your intellectual property, it's tied to the liability you create for others. Because if you protect something that nobody else is ever going to practice, then you really can't, it's going to be a hard piece of IP to monetize, right? Because it's so special and maybe so specific that you're the only ones doing it. Versus a piece of IP that there's 10 companies practicing that right now. That's where you create liability, because if you can show evidence, what we call evidence of use, that alone triggers a valuation jump of your patent of 2.5 times the value, because you have these other parties practicing what you've protected and have a monopoly on with your patent.
And you know what, the workshop, when we're there, I really want to emphasize how you and I are so different, but so united. In other words, I love the fact that you are the IP professional, that you have the legalese, the patents, you know, the USPTO approved quote weapons, you know, and then there's me who's like talking with people who are literally scrappy, doing startups, you know, moving fast. They could have a big enterprise, but they're moving fast and they're like, I don't have time for this. You know, we're kind of this cool combo of, you know, I respect you and your tools, you respect me and my tools, and together they make a great IP strategy.
Yes. Well, and the thing is too, you know, you hit on it right now, Carrie, that at different times of a company's growth trajectory, different types of intellectual property become more necessary than others.
Yeah.
If you're in startup mode, bootstrapping, you know, that's going to be one strategy and one kind of way to protect it versus a publicly traded
company
that has a portfolio of 1,000 patents, right? So it's always, you know, the IP has to kind of align with
the
company's growth pattern and where it's at now and where it wants to get to.
I love that.
In the future too.
Yeah. And it's like even a funnel, you know, where if a company is very innovative and cash is limited, you know, they might at first just protect a lot of things on instant IP and then let the winners, the thoroughbreds, rise to the surface.
Yep.
And those are the ones that they patent and they're like, look, there's our winner, we're gonna go. But then they have this other stuff where at least they didn't, as Dan talks about a lot, and even our imagery in the book, it's that circle of confidence. We create a circle in the beginning of the book and then we show 12 different steps which are the 12 steps, and that forms that moat around the castle. So I really like how this is going. That's why I think that workshop's going to be so fun, because they're going to get two different approaches that are saying the same value.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like I've heard that a good collaboration is where you think different thoughts but believe the same thing.
Exactly. When I think too, at the end of the day, we want to kind of arm entrepreneurs, innovators, and creatives here with the necessary knowledge and set of tools that they can apply to their business now, but at any point in the future as well. And that's where the workshop will really help solidify thinking around that. And I think too, we have a lot of really awesome content lined up for it, and some speakers as well who are going to kind of talk about their own journey through the IP process too.
I love it. So back to the final step here is the equation part three, protect your IP. So because you did step one, i.e. your IP, you've identified it. Number two, you've protected it. Now you have IP value. So it's protect your IP. So what talk to us about that.
There's a lot of different ways to protect your IP.
Mm-hmm.
And any kind, the thing to remember too, is that any one idea or invention might be protectable with multiple forms of IP. That's something to keep in mind too.
That's true.
And so really thinking holistically and putting a plan in place of what you want to protect when, that becomes very important as you kind of grow too, because maybe at first you just need a trademark, right? But then you realize, okay, it's time for that, record this on Easy IP.
Yeah.
Easton IP, sorry, gosh.
That's all right, that's all good.
Today. And then, then it's time for a patent. So at different stages of growth, it becomes different forms of IP based on what's happening too.
And just to land the plane, even with Instant IP, we did trademark it. We did, get the certification mark, and we did patent it, multiple patents. So you bet, man, I'm building a big castle for that. So folks, thanks so much. I highly encourage you to sign up for the workshop. You can find more information at instantip.today/workshop. There's limited seats, literally. The online platform demands that. So get your ticket in fast, and we look forward to seeing you. Take care.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today and caldwelllaw.com for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.